I think this is my favorite bump music coming back, bro. I don't know why. Kind of reminds me of like a 90s sitcom that I'd watch on like TGIF when all the faces come up in their real names. But don't forget, we did have this today.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. It is a Wednesday. It is a Festo and Dusty poll question here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. And our poll question today goes back to the conversation we had yesterday about how only 6.5% of people said that gambling is part of their game day experience when it comes to baseball. So throw a little paprika in there, flip it up, spice it up. We say, is sports gambling part of your regular football fan experience? 209 people have voted. The numbers have not shifted. It is 64.8% of people have said no.
That's incredible. Yeah.
That's surprising.
Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be more, you know, of a 50-50 split, you know.
Me too.
I did. I thought maybe probably a lean towards, yeah, it's the NFL. Sure, why not? $5 a weekend or whatever you want to do, right? It doesn't matter how much.
Man, this comes from Trenton Moore on Twitter. If you play fantasy football, gambling, you have to vote yes. Yeah. And I believe more than half of the people voting play fantasy football.
Great point.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, because that is technically gambling. Yeah.
But if you're putting money on it, like,
exactly.
If there's money in your league, yeah, it's gambling.
Right. You may not look at it as the day-to-day gambling, but if you're kicking in 250 to start the season, and yeah, you got money on the line, right? You don't want to wear the baby suit and have to walk up and down Metcalf with a lollipop if you lose and finish in last place, you know? So, yeah, it's absolutely gambling when you put money on it with fantasy.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess this is, I mean, it's not the definition of two Americas, but it's like two, like, generations, I think.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right about that.
I think it's a generational sort of thing where it's like, you know, I'll talk to people that are my age, and I've got a buddy that I chat with every day, and he'll, you know, send me a screenshot. What do you got tonight? Or who do you like tonight? And, you know, most of the time I'm not going to hit a bet because I do parlays, but sometimes it's just, you know, Saturday when it's loaded with basketball, I'll do, like, you know, spread and over under. Mm-hmm. And it's like it'll get to like sometimes like plus 285. To me, that's enough money to win on the plus side. But there are some people out there that, you know, want to do the 14 game teaser parlay, put 10 to win, you know, 1200.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I just hate gambling. It never works. Well, I was like, you're looking at your odds. Like, you're 12 to 1 to win that. Like, think about that in the long run. But I think there's also the people that maybe haven't got into it yet. And like a lot of people that are, with that personality that has that addictive personality, like, I don't gamble, not saying that I wouldn't, not saying that it's not fun, but if I do, I'll have every single gambling app on my phone, I'll distance myself from everybody else, and I'll go down a rabbit hole. Like, I've had people that tell me, they're like, dude, I collected baseball cards for 2 months, found out I was like 10 grand over my budget, I'm out. And you're, I'm out, like, dude, yeah. I get that. Props to you.
I've got that addictive personality.
I don't have that gene.
Mine is with eating and drinking.
Which is fair, which is why you always say, like, I won't do any boozing until Friday night or Friday after the show.
Yeah.
Which is fair. Like, for me, I can have 3 brews, cook dinner, eat, go to bed. Yeah. Like, I can do that. Or, I mean, I also have the issues of where I'll have like 8 or 9 and then eat at like 8:30 and be like, oh man, it's only Thursday.
Yeah.
But that's also me being like, man, Fridays are fun. It's not like we've got everything wrapped up and we have, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I just know for me, it's like, and this is the way I am with a lot of stuff, Dusty. It's like, I'm either out or I am balls to the wall in, right? Like, 50 chicken wings, fine, I'll eat them all.
Yeah.
It's 12 beers, fine, I'll drink them all. I don't have the off switch. Now, I've gotten better as I've gotten a lot older and really have made a concentrated effort to do it, but I still don't trust myself Sunday through Thursday.
Gotcha. Because where I thought this would be dramatically, it is, to be fair to the numbers, it is dramatically different. Yeah. Baseball, it was 94-6 when it came to percentages. And baseball, it's about, I don't know, 60-30 or 60-40 on this one. Where I thought it would be different is because, you know, we have talked about this with fantasy baseball. You and I were one and done with that, right? We hit it and quit it. It was like, oh, man, I got to pay attention to every day.
Yeah.
And I got to make sure my guy's going to be in the roster.
I had somebody tell me one time, if I didn't do fantasy baseball, I wasn't doing what I needed to do to be successful at my job.
That guy sounds like he's fat. I'm sorry. It just sounds like a guy that is a lard ass and doesn't understand life. if you don't do fantasy baseball every day, you don't know how to do your job.
That's what I was told one time. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep adding nuggets to your salad. But no, I think baseball gambling is different because there's just so much more, I guess, analytically there where you're betting like no runs first inning, or you're betting a hitter gets a total amount of bases, but walks don't count. Hit by pitch doesn't count, yeah. You know, stuff like that where it's got to be whatever it may be, or defensive adjustments happen. Whereas football, you, and again, nobody unit shames here when it comes to betting on what you put into your accounts or stuff like that.
Happens at the locker room.
Sometimes. Yeah, for sure. That's called insecurity. But like the thing about it the most is that in football, you probably watch it more, which is why I thought the number would be higher.
Yeah.
And also because to me, it's more simplistic to bet, where you could be like, hey, I don't gamble a lot, but I'm going to take Travis Kelce to have three catches, and I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes to throw for a touchdown. And it might be like, I don't know, -109, but you're like, I won. Yeah. And that's all you need. Like, right when you see with people at the casino, some people play penny slots, some people go play the $50 minimum blackjack table, and you're just like, hey, man, I ain't in that side of the pool. But I'm like somewhere in the middle where, like, as long as like my chest is above water, I'm good. I don't need the thrill of putting like a $50 bet on a 6-leg parlay to win 10 grand. But when you hit it, man, that's sweet.
Yeah, it
but
is.
But like, how many times are you actually going to hit that parlay? So right. I think when it comes down to it, the real value of why people probably don't gamble as much as we think is you look at where money is today.
Exactly.
And I think there's a lot of people that go to work Monday through Friday and work their ass off. And at the end of the day, they're like, because I've had this happen before where we've had poker games in the garages of friends' houses, and it's like, I'm all in the third hand. I played for $100. Like, do you know how long it took me to make $100 at Jack Stack when I was working there? I'm like, damn, that's like 5 tables.
See,
dude.
I'm the same way, though. You start to compute it that way in your mind. Like, that's, you know, 2 hours of work or whatever, you know, the case may be. And I'm like, God, I'm also very frugal with my money. I spend on things like, I was having a conversation with my doctor yesterday. I went for my annual physical. Everything's great. So nobody has to worry. I'm here for another year at least, hopefully. And she was talking to me about, you know, some of the stuff, and they were talking about their family versus my family. Like, we like to travel. And she's like, yeah, we like to travel as well. We spend our money on that. I would rather spend my money on those type of experiences than, you know, something else. And
so if you get a car, you buy new tires, not used tires.
Right. Yeah. You don't ever buy used tires. I mean, come on now. But I think that's where I choose to spend my money. Now, obviously I'm betting on games every single weekend and having some fun, but I'm only doing, you know, what I know is good for me. You know, $5 here, $10 here, something like that. I'm not getting in completely over my head in that situation.
Right. So what's interesting is, maybe the World Baseball Classic can kind of change the opinions of where we head towards 2027.
Right? I hope so, man. I hope
you have a lot of fun happening in baseball. You have a lot of renaissance happening. The game is faster. The athletic ability is starting younger. You're seeing star players with promise actually live out to that. Like what Paul Skeens had, just electric stuff yesterday.
Forget he pitched for the Air Force Academy too. So he's got, like, playing for Team USA means something to him. You know?
Yeah, he's always wanted to put that jersey on. I know it gave up a run, but then you look at like the last five batters he faced, like 4 strikeouts in the game, just looked like he was ready to go. And I hope that they don't have a lockout. And, you know, this was from, I believe, 104.3 The Score in Chicago, our sister station. And they were talking about what Rob Manfred had to say about where the baseball world could be headed.
Part of his job is to demonstrate to them that he tried. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if at some point the owners back off of a cap. I don't know when that would be. You know, is that March? Is that January? Is that after you started to miss some games in April and then everybody says, okay, all right, that's enough. Let's try to find a way to play. But before you get to that point, don't you have to demonstrate to them, well, hey, look, guys, I tried. I tried to give you this thing that you told me I needed to go out and do. And the other interesting wild card here is Rob himself. Manfred has said he intends to retire in January 2029. That's when his contract is up. We could take him on his word at that is his plan. But there's also a world in which, you know, he's not going to get whatever he's making now in another job. You know, let's say it's $25, $30 million a year in total compensation, something like that. So maybe he wants to come back. Well, if he wants to come back, what do you have to do to come back? Do you have to deliver the cap to the owners to make them say, hey, we love having you here. Please stick around. And so the question of what does Rob Manfred himself want is a hard one to answer right now. And he says throughout his career, he's focused most on having games played.
So he's focused on having games played.
Right.
We will both dive in on the other side of the break on why that quote means so much to the future of baseball. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
So let me kind of make this the best way I can clear this up, and then we'll get into what that audio was from 104.3 The Score in Chicago, because somebody I'm having a very cordial conversation with on the text line about gambling and sports, right? And
sure.
They're like, well, I don't gamble daily, but I pay one fee for my fantasy team, and we play all year, but I don't gamble any other way on the season, whatever. Mm-hmm. I said, well, that's still gambling.
Still gambling, yeah.
And the way that I will compare that to is like a futures bet.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I do more futures bets than I do anything.
I think Bobby Witt Jr. is going to win the MVP. If that's the only bet I put in on the entire year, I'm still gambling.
That's right.
So like, that's kind of like you're paying to play in a fantasy league for a future to cash out in money that you're going to win if you win. So it's still technically gambling, even though there are degrees of gambling. But that audio that we heard before we went to the break is interesting because it kind of makes me think that like the owners are maybe kind of putting down their guard just a tad bit because it's not a salary cap problem. It's a salary floor issue.
That's exactly what it is. And that was Evan Drellich of The Athletic. He covers Major League Baseball for them, talking about, you know, Rob Manfred. And the gist of it was, in case you missed it, is that Rob Manfred's going to tell his owners he tried for a salary cap, but it doesn't look like a salary cap is going to happen. And I'm great with that because I do think, as I've been saying for about a year now, the salary cap thing is just such a buzzword. It's low-hanging fruit, and it really doesn't solve the issue of what is broke in Major League Baseball right now. The problem in Major League Baseball right now isn't that the Dodgers are spending too much money. We love to criticize people who do well in this country, right? We love to rip the rich guys all the time. People who worked and saved and did all their money.
A lot of them do deserve it.
Yeah, right. Well, but some of them do. But like, we're jealous is ultimately what it is. And so it's easier to attack the wealthy and the powerful instead of going after the people that are the real problem. And that's the teams that aren't spending enough money, the Royals included in that. And what I mean by that is, and we talked about it last week on this show, the central fund is the money that every Major League Baseball team gets an equal stake of. All the national money, for argument's sake, goes into a pool, and that whatever number they have, they divide it by 30 and everybody gets an equal check. Last year, that check was between $200 and $210 million. 18 teams in Major League Baseball had a payroll below the central fund money that they got. That needs to be the new rule in Major League Baseball. The amount of money that you have to spend every year on your team is equivalent to the amount of money you're getting from the central fund. And that's how you solve Major League Baseball.
Not $29 seats all you can eat.
No, that to me.
That's like, got Drew all in, by the way.
I mean, it's a brilliant move, but it's also telling you we're going to stink. I mean, you know.
Need a reason.
You need a reason. Yeah, you need a reason to go $29.
Why do you think most food promos in restaurants are on Tuesdays? Yeah, slowest day of the week.
You told me that yesterday. I thought Monday would have been, but you made the case. I'm like, okay, I get it. Yeah, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Taco Tuesday. It's not because they're both teas.
No.
Well, maybe it is.
But it's also a trend, but it also probably started with like, how can we get money on Tuesdays? Why don't we even make tacos, buy one, get one? Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, some
Rancho Grande, Jose Pepper, all these places. Let's do it.
Yeah, some guy in Jersey started Taco Tuesday in the 70s.
I thought it was LeBron.
No, LeBron, like this guy was like suing LeBron for stealing the Taco Tuesday. Like it was a mess. If you want to look up the Taco Tuesday lawsuits that are out there, it's crazy. But the salary cap is just a buzzword. It makes, let's the big bad Dodgers. Like people have done a really good job of convincing us the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, the Cubs. Those are the problems. The problems are the teams that aren't spending the money. Those are the teams that need to get their act in gear and raise their level of spending. So 18 teams last year spent under what the central fund money was. Well, they're just putting that money into their pockets. They've got to be spending that money on payroll. That, in my way, is how you fix Major League Baseball. Easy. You force these other teams to spend, it rises everybody else's salaries. The players can't be mad at that.
Maybe a dumb question, but the money that they don't spend on the roster, right? Let's say they pocket like $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
Does any of that go to like staff or anybody at the stadium?
I'm sure they just use it for whatever they want, right?
Okay. You know, I just didn't know because like maybe there are good organizations out there that say, yeah, we know we had $20 million left on our budget that we didn't spend, we didn't make it, but we've got somebody here that can like divvy it out to like all the like staff members, including like assistants or, you know, whatever it may be, and be like, hey, congratulations, here's a bonus. It's X amount of
hours. Be great if they did that. What companies are doing that?
That's why I'm asking. I don't know. Cause I get the vision of like, all right, 20, 40, 60, $70 million we didn't have to spend.
Right. In my pocket.
We're going to the Hamptons.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? But like, see, in the NFL, though, the salary cap is essentially the TV money that every team gets every year. I mean, and that's essentially how they set the salary cap. I know that's getting very basic on it, but that's essentially what they do. You look at the amount of TV money, and then you look at the salary cap, and you're like, man, that's pretty close. That's pretty close to the same. And what's different in the NFL, too, is they have a three-year kind of rolling cap that they have to spend a certain amount of money. And there's teams like the Raiders, I think, and the Jets, and there may be another one that have to spend a ton of money this free agency to get that number up. Otherwise, they get fined by the NFL for not spending enough money. How about we start fining Major League Baseball owners for not spending enough money? Enough with the players always getting the blame on this one. The owners got to do better.
So what's the punishment if they don't spend the money?
For the NFL teams, they get fined. And they
what
get
about
that
the
money
MLB if they were not to? Like, if you had to put a plan in place, like if
I'd fine these teams. If you don't spend
the money back.
You got to give the money back. Yeah, you got to give the money back. If you're not going to spend it on your payroll, we're giving you this money. You've got to spend that on payroll. That's the only exception, that's the only rule we have to all of this, is how I would put it, is we're giving you $200 million a year. That better be on your major league payroll. If it's not, you owe us the money back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just weird because baseball is so lost, but yet it's interesting because like they do things. It seems like baseball seemingly always says, like, they take one step forward and two steps back.
Mm-hmm.
Fast clock, ghost runner, faster games, 2027.
See, if that wasn't looming right now, how freaking great would baseball be? What spot they would be in right now, right? If we weren't having this work stoppage looming, and there is going to be a lockout, whether they miss games, I don't know the answer to that question. There will be a lockout by the owners, but it seems like in baseball, we spend so much more time talking about the inequities of the game, work stoppages, labor situations in baseball. Baseball hasn't missed a game since 1995. Every other sport, basketball's missed multiple times. Mm-hmm. Hockey's missed multiple times. The NFL, I'm trying to think if they missed a game. I don't think they have necessarily missed a game. Now that was 87 when they had the strike in the NFL. So they haven't missed a game either, but baseball hasn't had any really work situation since 94, 95 when they had the major strike that everybody still talks about. But Dusty, that's how perception works, my man. Like, people look at baseball, they think 94 strike. I mean, that's immediately what they do. And then they see the bickering in public where billionaires and millionaires are fighting with each other over stuff that us as just people can't understand.
Well, I know Mac's out running some stuff around out in the bullpen. I wish he was in here. But I have a pretty good indication that A.J. Brown is never leaving Philadelphia. So this comes from Evan Sidry on Twitter. He's a writer for NFL and NBA. The Eagles are asking for a future first and second round pick in any potential A.J. Brown trade per Mike Garofalo. If no team comes close to their asking price, Brown will stay in Philadelphia.
So they want a first and second.
Future
first and future second. So not this year's draft, because they know this year's draft stinks.
But they want your draft picks next year. So Howie Roseman, obviously, there he is. Mac, here's I'm telling everybody right now that A.J. Brown's never leaving Philadelphia. This comes from Evan Sidry on Twitter, per Mike Garofalo. The Eagles are asking for a future first and second round pick in any potential A.J. Brown trade. If no team comes close to their asking price, Brown will stay in Philadelphia.
Would you do it?
No, not for next year's draft.
No,
yeah, absolutely not.
No, No, that's insane. Yeah, there's no chance.
No, he's an
it's
Eagle.
Not worth that.
Well, we tried to trade JJ. No one wanted you. Yeah, because I'm a $40 million salary cap hit this year. If you get rid of me, so you can't cut me, and then you're asking for future first and second round picks in next year's draft that everybody knows is going to be loaded. Yeah, nobody's trading for AJ Brown for that kind of. asking price. No. Now, I'd call him and offer him a third this year. Sure. If you're, you
know. Yeah, for sure.
It sucks that their secondary is badass and they don't need Trent McDuffie at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do they need?
Good wide question. Receiver.
Like, yeah, honestly, I guess a wide receiver.
Because what? Dallas Goedert's going to be gone.
Yep. That's a good. Yeah. Tight end. Dallas Goedert's gone, which could be a Chief. 30, 31 years old.
Would you do it?
Absolutely. They don't have any future at that position after Travis Kelce.
Is he the future, though?
He's not the future, but he's a bridge.
He's a bridge.
They don't have anything.
I'm good with that. All right, I like that.
Yeah, none.
At least that gives you more time.
Yeah, three more years.
We've had all this time, and we haven't found anything.
Nope. But, you know, Andy's done a nice job of kind of reinventing himself, you know, as a coach over the years and going with the pistol formation, as we talked about yesterday, before, you know, anybody else could do that. And I always go back to, why do we have to find a tight end? Why can't we just create something unique and different that nobody's seen before and go with that? Like, there's no law that says we need a tight end on the roster, right? And if that guy isn't there, don't try to force somebody to be that guy, because no matter who the next tight end is, we're all going to sit here and have Travis Kelce comparisons. It's human nature. It's what we do. Why not do something where you're just going five wide and have a single running back, or have two running backs, or use the wishbone again, or something where you know, you may not have that position, but man, you've got a lot of other weapons and you can do things differently. That's adjusting to your players. Kind of back to the Carlos Boozer or the Cameron Boozer topic we talked about yesterday. Great coaches will always find ways to work in great players and you know, build their system around them. If you've got this great player on your team, then you kind of want to build your system around that player. And in the NFL, if you don't have a certain player that dominates at a certain position, well, by all means, figure it out somewhere else. There's no law that says they have to go out and get a tight end, you know?
Yeah, but also, this is where it's going to be tough with, like, Mahomes' transition into his career without Travis Kelce.
Well, he's going to have to do that himself, man.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but it's like, outside of like Randy Moss, did Tom Brady have anybody that, I guess, Gronk?
Gronk at the end, yeah.
Right? Julian Edelman.
And Edelman was a good one.
And I got free agent wide receivers. Maybe we can get to it today too, but that's one I take tomorrow. So the Chiefs have to find their Edelman. Not archetype, not physically, not anything.
It's been Travis Kelce, right?
It's been Travis Kelce and Tyreek at the same time. They didn't have every connection that Tom Brady had was kind of, how you say,
staggered.
Thank you. So those were at the same time. Now Kelsey's gone. They have not had anything. If you want to say Watkins for 1 year, but that wasn't an actual connection. That's just a good player.
Because Welker was first, right? Or Randy Moss was 07, 08, or whatever. And
what
then,
was Welker? When was he after Randy Moss?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was like 09.
He was technically probably
11.
On that team.
He was probably there, but he was like probably like 9 to 11.
Special teams guy.
And then he went over to Denver, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Gronk era happened.
Yeah.
And then that was pretty much the last phase of it. So I am interested to know who, like, the Chiefs, who could be that element.
Take Travis out of the conversation right now. Who's this guy right now?
Nobody. I mean, I guess it would have to be Worthy.
Yeah.
Or maybe that Royals guy actually gets a chance to show his skill set, or
himself.
Seriously, like,
I have a question. Is his Edelman Tyquan Thornton?
Could be.
Maybe.
Could be.
Who had the best deep ball connection with Patrick Mahomes this year?
Tyquan Thornton. And he's a free agent.
And
cheap free agent.
You're reading my mind. Attached to that is looking at this list of free agent wide receivers, Tyquan Thornton is a must to bring back. That is a must on this.
He's not going to cost you anything. Hollywood Brown's gone.
Yep.
Sky Moore's gone. Kadarius Toney's gone. MVS is gone. Rashee Rice.
Juju Smith-Schuster's gone.
He's gone. And the one guy that had the one thing that Patrick Mahomes has better than anybody else in the league that connected with it, once they brought Rashee Rice back, he kind of went MIA because they veered away from that. And I think that's one of Patrick Mahomes' crutches is that he gets real comfortable real quick with one guy. And where I think Tyquan Thornton thrives in this system is you can't get comfortable throwing the deep ball because you just don't do it all the time. But if you can do it when you are successful all the time with it, that's where it can become that sort of thing that works for you. And it seemed like Tyquan Thornton had it down better than anybody else on the team this year.
So,
and maybe last year, and maybe the year before.
The other thing that Mahomes also has to do, he has to stop trying to make the amazing play every single play.
Well, he's got to have his coaches be able to let him know that he doesn't need to do that.
I think that'll happen once the other things get into place first. I think that unraveled because it was a reaction to everything else. Oh, the offensive line for the last 3 years and no left tackle. Now the play calling's deteriorated. No running game. Wide receivers hurt. I think that was a reaction to all of that. I truthfully believe he will be back to more fundamentally sound. Because you're right. I mean, happy feet, leaving the pocket too early, looking at one read, maybe two, and then going, it's not there. It's like, no, give it one more second. It's about to open up. Calm down. So, no, I think that will happen. But you're right. That was an issue. But I think it's probably because they had a putrid lineup as far as skill weapons. Well, like, there was no one there.
And you just named like a lot of things. That's why the butterfly effect in the NFL is brilliant. And you can talk about it all day and have these conversations. And we could say Andy needs to be better at his play calling. But what if his play calling was good and Patrick wasn't allowing those plays to develop? Now, that's a problem to me. If there's something wrong where Patrick Mahomes can't allow these plays to develop, maybe he has PTSD from an offensive line not doing its job, we got bigger issues on our hands, fellas. We got major issues on our hands. And if that is the case and Patrick does have a little bit of PTSD, then that's why even more importantly you need to run the football.
Get a running back.
You've got to give your guy an opportunity and a fair shake at this. And passing 70% of the time or more is not giving your quarterback or your offensive line a fair shake at having success.
It's like playing a video game and you only have access to like half of the controller. Like you just don't, he hasn't, when was the last time Patrick Mahomes did play action? And when he got out of that break, out of that fake handoff, looked at the linebackers and they were actually going backwards. Or they were actually going forwards. Excuse me. They were actually running towards the line. And he goes, oh, wait, we're actually going to have an edge here. I'm actually going to have a little bit of a crease here to throw something into. And then your shoulders take a step back. And then you take a breath. And you go, okay, this is starting to make sense again. Because now I'm playing the full game. We've been playing half of a playbook. So, yeah, I think that'll all get in line and back in order if you start to get the play calling and the skill position group back in order. Now,
did we not see something last year, real quick before you go? I'm sorry. Did we not see something last year? What were you just talking about with Mahomes?
Happy feet, rolling out too quickly.
I forget.
Not throwing to his first or second read, maybe.
Yeah, I forget what I was going to say.
I think the thing about Julian Edelman and the reason I use him is, one, because he was one of the connections that Tom Brady had after Gronk and after Randy Moss, and the Chiefs need to find that, but also because Julian Edelman might be a Hall of Fame wide receiver, but if you look at his stats, I think he had 3,000-yard seasons the whole time he was here, and they were like, one was an 1,100-yard year. Like, that was his peak, 1,100 yards, not 1,400 or anything like that. It was 3,000-yard seasons. That was it, barely. He was a good wide receiver, but with Tom Brady, he was great because of that connection. That's what we need to find. We're sitting here looking at Xavier Worthy. Ooh, 4.2 speed. Ooh, that's so exciting. We need someone that's going to work with Patrick Mahomes. Marvin Harrison didn't have eye-popping combine or athletic numbers, but him and Peyton Manning figured it the F out. We need someone like that. And if that's, I mean, I'm looking at if that's Christian Kirk, you saw him start to have a real effect over there in Houston. Maybe he's a guy who can gain chemistry really quickly for 2 or 3 years with Patrick Mahomes and be sort of fill that void. But I think we need to stop looking so much at talent, numbers, and really find someone that can fit this offense and find chemistry with Patrick Mahomes. That's what's going to work wonders.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. The thing that I wanted to mention, you mentioned the play action. I was like, didn't we have somebody that told us like nobody fell for it last year? Like, didn't we have somebody from another team that nobody fell for that play action pass because we knew they weren't running the football?
That was it. Yes, we had a whole video on the RPOs and how the linebackers are literally moving back.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was a video of the run. They're like, just screw this.
Yeah,
like,
I think it was Mitchell Schwartz maybe breaking it down. Yeah, it was something like that.
But that's coaching, guys. Yeah, that's Andy Reid right there. He's got to be better this year. Like, I know he knows this, and I'm not telling him something he doesn't know.
Yeah.
But, like, the number one guy who needs to make the most improvement is the head football coach because he had a bad year last year.
Well, they brought in a wide receiver coach to help develop Randy Moss, so I'm sure that they could get some guys, you know.
And that's the other thing. I'm interested to see still what he's going to do with
Chetty.
But now, is Rashee Rice going to be part of this thing? I don't know. I can't plan that Rashee Rice is going to be part of this team this year. That's for me. Like, that's how he's gone. You cannot act like he's going to be part of your team this year with the potential, as Nate Taylor said last week, of, you know, maybe double-digit game suspensions if this thing goes all the way to the commissioner's office. Like, you just can't count on that guy.
This is a getting old moment for me here, as there's some news out of the Royals organization. Royals TV has hired a new sideline reporter or on-field reporter. Bridget Howard, that last name, and Royals might sound familiar. She is the daughter of David Howard.
Oh, cool.
Who played 7 seasons with the Royals in the 90s. Went to Blue Valley High School, and she's 27, going to work here for the Kansas City Royals and be part of that crew that's got Lefevre and Eisenberg and Hudler and Guthrie and Goldberg and others. But Howard is scheduled to appear on all local home broadcasts as well as one road series in St. Louis in May. And oh, by the way, at 10:30 today, she will be on with Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. So some familiarity. Is Joel Goldberg going to, is she going to be the successor to Joel Goldberg? Is kind of what I'm wondering about that. That's what hit my mind. Also, I remember David Howard being here because I think, am I wrong? Was David Howard the one that hit the ball to Jim Edmonds? I want to say that's who robbed David Howard. I want to say David Howard is who Jim Edmonds robbed in center field with the most amazing catch ever. I think that's who it was. And if that's the case, they have to ask her that question, like what her dad thought of Jim Edmonds making that catch. I want to say it's David Howard, that poor guy.
God, you are right.
Is it David Howard? What a weird memory.
June 10th, 1990s. Yeah. But I remember exactly where I was. I was interning for KMBZ at the time, and I was in the bathroom making a dump on the blender when that play happened. And I don't know that there was TV, so I had to run back, and I was literally splicing tape then.
I remember that.
Yeah, David Howard, yeah.
That's crazy. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But they will have her on at 10:30 today if you're looking for to get to know the new Royals on-field reporter who will be at every game on home. Royals.tv. So that's – can I – is that – that's what we're doing? Is that real? Because I need to know.
Yeah,
dude,
no,
I mean, we're like 3 weeks away from opening day.
I'm interested to know how many people have bought that. I got a topic for tomorrow that I want to get into.
Because I want to know if that's what I do need to buy. If that's where I got to go.
You get a box. It. But yeah.
Yeah. But okay, so that's it. Because like people have asked me, like, have you bought the Royals package yet? And I'm like, well, no. I don't know what I'm supposed to buy or where I'm supposed to. Once I find out, I'll just pay for it. But if that's the case, yeah, we need to find out if people have it already.
And how many? Because nobody's buying this in Minnesota, we saw. I don't know how many are buying the Detroit one. I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are. I know people are tired of being nickel and dime, guys. They are. I mean, I know it's not a big fee for that, but any fee is a fee for people right now. And I don't know, like, I don't think if you have, like, normal cable, if it's still going to be on there. I don't know the answer to that question. Again, I don't work in that industry. This is, you know, all the games are here for free.
Yeah. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for the Kansas City Royals. You can hear them all the time here. That great sound of Denny will be back. Can't wait for that. That was a good picture of all of them together in the booth yesterday. It's like, there we are. Surprise. Literally, surprise. Opening day Friday night for the Royals. I guess opening night, but opening day Thursday, World Baseball Classic starts Friday on Fox as well. We come back. We have a new voice for MLB as an announcer. Plus, was it always this guy when it comes to the running back position? Because I am wondering if it's close, not saying break in case of emergency, but I'm wondering if we're getting close to the fact of, are we starting to get worried because more names are coming off the list at maybe a faster rate than we might have thought? We'll get into all that and wrap this show up on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah, I was the Santa for the company party for a couple years with specific instructions from legal. Nobody needs to sit on my lap.
Thank you, Jay.
It's the best.
Isn't it so good?
Jay legal. Binkley, everybody. Happy birthday, Mr. Bink.
Woo! When he was a couple of months ago talking about the fall wedding stuff, you know, that he gets into.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what?
I had a friend of mine text me and go, is this real?
Yes.
Is this guy real?
Well, you remember he was pissed at Christian McCaffrey because he dressed up.
For Halloween.
Couple dressed up. Wasn't he like the Tin Man and his girlfriend was Dorothy with Toto?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, it's going to cause him to not be as good. McCaffrey had one of the best seasons of his career.
How would that cause him, ever. Jay, not to be good?
He's getting distractions. You should have gone to Halloween as just a beer drinker.
Oh, yeah. He told us all about his winter beers for every winter, too, as well.
Well, Dusty, it's the time of year you have to go with like a winter beer, like a Sam Adams winter lager, okay. Mother's winter grind, Nutcracker Ale by Boulevard. I would suggest something else, like high consumption beer, you know, like a Coors Light, slamming those during the game. But it is Christmas time, man. All right. So you might as well go with the winter lagers.
I'll get a Nutcracker Ale if they have it at the Hy-Vee, and I will have
perfect.
Those on
they will.
Perfect, they will.
They will. No, he orders it from the Hy-Vee all the time. Yeah.
Oh,
that was today too, right?
I don't know.
I think that was at the beginning today.
There was one today.
I mean, we could literally, we'll give it up to you. I'll give you guys 2 minutes to text in. Do you want the rest of the show to be sports content about Travis Etienne, Breece Hall, Sinus Hour, or
football stuff?
You want football, or do you just want bink drops?
I'd like to get
bink. I've had some good chili lately, man. Between Dusty's. Dusty brought me in some last week. And I guess I just brought a container back. I brought a new one. But that's fair, right? Bring back a new container. I couldn't remember which one it was, so I bring a new container back. You said you don't want your containers back, so we're good. I'm a dude, man, and it's hard for me to remember anything.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but he's a dude.
I'm a dude, man.
I'm a dude. You're a dude. We're all dudes, hey.
Like, there's no more person that screams man than Jay Bakery, right?
Yeah, but football never dissipates, Bob.
I love that one. I love that one.
That is one of my favorite ones.
So we've got, I think, Bob. A unanimous day. It says, please give me bink drops, please. Yeah. Give us bink drops, balls. I don't know why that's there.
Yeah.
Screw sports, a drop of bink all day, baby.
See, I would say I would rather have Dusty do the rest of the show spinkly, because that makes me laugh so much. Because it's not just the voice. You got his, like, eyes down.
Mm.
Like, the facial expressions.
Don't think, just do. Piss me off.
And the reason we're celebrating Jay today is because it's his birthday.
Yeah, woo! He's around the sun. Even though you can't see it, Binkley went around it.
54, I think he is
and
today.
I mean, this has got to be one of the greatest drops of all time.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what go up, man?
Nobody still knows what that one is, right?
Nope.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I mean,
as far as an individual event in a niche sport, it would be a bigger deal. Listen, I love the Masters. There's a certain bar I go to because they always have golf on. I love watching the PGA Tour. I typically will watch it at least on one screen on Sundays, and then watch some NASCAR as well with it. But I love seeing Scheffler almost win in Houston, but he didn't. It came one stroke from winning. But yeah, the Masters is a huge event with golf fans, but I don't know if the average public will watch. I don't know if they're talking about it in February and March. So, but the draft, I know people talk about.
Do you think more people watch the draft then?
I think more people consume the draft through the process. Remember, the draft's 3 days.
The Masters is 4 days.
It is 4 days, but the 3 days of the draft, I think, are huge. Definitely day one. People are watching. People are doing mock drafts. They're not doing a mock draft for the Masters.
No, they're betting on it. They're putting real money down on that.
Well, you can bet on the draft, too.
Well, that's ridiculous.
No.
In Binkley's defense.
That game last night really pissed me off, to be honest with you.
Round one of the NFL draft draws a larger audience than any single day of the Masters.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah.
To do all 4 days of the Masters outweigh all 3 days of the draft.
Because
the Masters is tough. Because the draft starts, you have a number, whereas golf, it's like, give me Thursday and give me Sunday.
So here's what Gemini says. The NFL draft first round is about 12 to 13 and a half million viewers.
Sweet.
Final round of the Masters, 9 to 10. NFL drafts rounds 2 to 3, 5 million to 7.5 million. Early rounds of the Masters, 3 to 3.5 million. NFL draft entire 3 day average, 6 to 7.5 million. So it doesn't beat the last day total average. You're right. It just depends on how you all want to break it down.
Remember last year when we had Binkley as our Royals insider, said, Binkley, man, I got a question for you. The Royals are really struggling with a 3-hole hitter in their lineup. Who do you want? Who's a name that you could have hitting third in this lineup?
Nobody. It's a big bundle of suck dust, man.
Give me the list of quarterbacks that had better start their season than Mahomes. Again, 10, 9, 8, 7, go. You're an idiot. Sorry, Steve, he's always negative. He always are. With Nick Price and Dusty Likens, you got something to say? Well, you say it! Dusty's right here, Nick, to take your calls. 913-576-7610.
I really think he wanted to call Nick something else.
football. Energy drinks, beer, more football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Hey, welcome back to Bink at Night. It's been a good day. We call it Monday Evening Quarterback with Kent Swanson. Kent, sorry about my voice, brother.
You're all right.
Free home.
Just fine, my friend.
Hey, man, what did you make of Mahomes yesterday? Was that his best performance ever?
Oh, God.
A couple inches does make a difference.
Oh, Jay Bingley.
Oh, my God, he's so good.
Can you play that 10, the countdown one?
Oh, the...
You're an idiot.
That is a good one.
Give me the list of quarterbacks that had better start their season than Mahomes. Again, 10, 9, 8, 7, go! 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 You're an idiot. Sorry, Steve. You're always negative. You always are.
You're right, Dusty. You can literally hear the guy answering in the
back. He's like, Brady, Manny, you're an idiot.
Oh, my God. It is just epic. There's just nothing better than Binkley. Every time he's on, I get texts from people like, don't ever change, Jay.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
So good. Love it.
There's juice all over the place.
I mean, he's just
American treasure.
Yes, dumbass.
That was him?
Yeah. Yes, dumbass.
Yeah. Was he got helium that day?
Yes, dumbass.
Yeah, a little higher register take.
Yeah, dude.
Love it.
Oh, I love
God,
it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, you type in Binkley in our folder, it never stops. And there, you just, some of them you forget about, and then you just like hear it, and it's just, I mean, it's great.
I'm giving up beer.
Yeah, well,
I don't think that happened.
Well,
why didn't you give up beer, Jay? Well,
I give up beer. No, you didn't.
What do you think the longest stretch for him is without a beer? A couple hours?
Yeah, it could just probably be their opponent suck.
10, 9, 8.
Certain organizations just want to pay certain guys, and that's great. It's just the and Herm Edwards did say one thing that was great one time. He said, hey, there's three different directions of arrows. The ones that's going up, those are the ones you pay. The one that's going sideways or down, you don't pay.
Yeah.
There we go. Good Binkley nugget.
That's obvious knowledge. Yeah, you don't want to pay anybody on the downside. Like, so often in sports, we reward guys and pay them too late, right? You want to hit it in that sweet spot. Hard to do.
Hey, baby, how you doing?
Good, Jay. How are you?
There's a lot of people talking out of their butt.
That was told by Legal.
Yeah, the Legal one from today is trending to be my favorite right now.
You know what, guys? This guy.
Yeah, here's the Legal story from today.
Yeah, I was the Santa for the company party for a couple years with specific instructions from Legal. Nobody needs to sit on my lap.
Hey, man, what did you make of Mahomes yesterday? Was that his best performance ever?
Legal. Shout out to Jay Binkley, man.
Oh, it's a good one, man.
Yeah. I love you, sir. You're one of the best guys in this building. I've known you for a long time. God bless you, Jay Binkley.
Yeah.
More trips around the sun for you upcoming and more drops for us. So keep doing your thing. Happy birthday to Jay Binkley.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jay. We love you, brother. Man, keep doing you and don't ever change. I don't think he will now. He's in his 50s. I don't think he's ever going to change, but I love talking with Jay. He makes me laugh. The football stuff is great. He's not afraid to give his take and give his opinion, even though it's wrong. He didn't want Mahomes. He wanted Mitchell Trubisky. We all know the truth. I kid. But seriously, Jay, have a hell of a birthday, man. Enjoy that. Enjoy the day. It's all yours.
You know, funny stat about Pearl Jam. Their original name wasn't Pearl Jam. It was Mookie Blaylock.
That's right.
You know, I remember first got here, and Bob, you left for vacation or something. So it was me and Kling for just the few months that we got to work together.
Yeah.
And we brought in Bink because I was just on. So, you know, it was Kling, Bink, and I, and I hadn't yet got to meet Jay Binkley. And so I was
big day for you, wasn't it?
Big day. And I was getting ready, prepping the show, and Kling was like, yeah, it's just like when you go, come in tomorrow, you know, you'll just have to experience it.
That's a good Kling impression, yeah, though, too. Like, you just have to figure it out for yourself.
I was like,
you'll understand once. Like, there's really no way to explain who this gentleman is, but once you see Jay Binkley, you'll understand who Jay Binkley is all about.
I was like, what do you mean? Is it going to be bad? He's like, no, it's going to be great. It's just, you'll see.
You'll see.
Well, the two best parts that affect the Cody and Gold producer role is Nick Schwartz had a Heisman vote. And boy, when Binkley found that out, because you can't share any information every time you're, hey, Nick, come on, man. You see these guys? We got, I know you're leaning that way. You can't tell me anything, but who you got? You just answered your own question.
You can't tell me.
Every time. And then Drew's a college football, he just sports. And he does the podcast, and he had this whole book of breakdowns of players, and you'd have thought Binkley saw his dad's nude stash. Is that like every player? Oh, man, that's, you got an encyclopedia, but you created your own. Hey, man, where are you from? Indianapolis? You know, the Indy 500? Just nonstop. So, hey, happy birthday, Bink. Go do something nice for somebody that you never know. Change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy. Coming up next, it's a Ruckus Crew from 10 to 2. It's Cody, Gold, and Drew. We'll talk to you tomorrow, as well as Ben Maller. Take care. Stay dry. Have fun.